Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Bolin. I've recently been promoted to the assistant analyst for our copy machine here at HowStuffWorks.com.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, another good job.
Thanks, man.
Another good job. You're moving up in the company.
You know, I am. I'm working it.
I remember when you were just the, tape dispenser monitor or something like that?
Lowly tape dispenser.
Yeah.
And now here I am.
That's right.
Cower before me, tape dispensing department.
I think you skipped right over the staplers.
Yeah.
Didn't even have to maintain them.
There's a lot of politics.
Yeah, it's very mechanical.
Yeah.
Very mechanical.
Who are you?
Oh, me? Oh, I'm Scott Benjamin. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Forgot about it. You know, you threw me off with your copy machine job.
Oh, it's just, don't worry, guys. We are actually going to do a show.
We're
just having a good
time about cars, maybe even.
You know what? That's a good idea.
Maybe.
What about cars, though? What should we do?
I think, now kind of an interesting idea I think we came up with together.
Mm-hmm.
Races that people might never have heard of, unusual races. So automotive in most cases. There's a few that we'll throw in there.
That are so good.
Yeah, we just had to mention them. But yeah. A lot of races that are happening out there that are out of the ordinary. They're not Formula One. They're not IndyCar. They're not autocross. You know, the typical stuff that you hear about.
Sure.
This is the unusual stuff that maybe are very regionalized or maybe you know, maybe just happen at one place.
Yeah.
Just some individual events. And if you're not really searching for something like this, you may have no idea that even exists out there. Or you may, you know, let's say you're on vacation and you just stumble across some race that's going on, you know, in this little town and no one else has heard about it. Mm. You may want to kind of broadcast that out and let everybody know about it. Well, there's a few of those in here that I think, well, they probably got a name for themselves by now. I'm sure they do. I know they do, because otherwise I wouldn't have heard of them. But, we've got some really, really kind of crazy ones here. Just a few, really, but we'll just go through them real quick.
Let's do it.
Okay, you want to start?
I will do, I'll just do it list style, one that I thought was really cool. I'm going to start off really weird, okay?
Okay.
It just gets weirder, Scott. I'm just going to warn you, bro.
I'll check these off.
All right. There is an office chair race.
Oh, that's weird.
That takes place in Germany.
Any motors?
Yeah.
Motors, really? Yeah. They're powered.
They look like they have some power on them, man.
Really?
They're racing. They're not just pushing
they're
themselves.
They're not pushing these. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. So, you know what? That kind of do you happen to know any of the specifics on this or no?
This is the one that's the freshest in my mind because I saw it on the way over here.
Okay.
Not in real life. I saw it. Yeah. I saw it on screen
in the hallway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. That kind of reminds me of one of them that I got on my list here. I'll have to check it off. It's barstool races. Have you seen motorized barstool races?
Okay, it's like they
which
have
are
to be motorized.
Unbelievably precarious looking things. Because, you know, barstools are up nice and high, and you're holding on to the bottom of the seat as you drive.
And you're probably drunk or drinking.
Likely, yeah.
Likely.
Likely drinking, yeah. Because
which we
these
don't
are,
condone.
No, but, you know, these are barstools racing around, little, like, looks like go-kart tracks. Kind of cool.
That's cool.
And I think, you know, a couple of these I think people have heard of, but.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into some really unusual ones here in a moment.
Yeah,
so,
we're just cracking the ice right now.
You know, someone may have been surprised by that one and said, "What, barstools? They race barstools?"
Somebody might be saying, "Finally, some recognition."
Probably right. Probably
so
right.
So what
about garden tractor races?
Oh man,
you hear about them, but they really do exist.
And there's more than one.
Lots more than one. Yeah. I think they're even sponsored by manufacturers. Let's say
John Deere sponsors one, I think.
Oh, they do. Okay. I was going to make this up. I was going to just say that, you know, Sears may sponsor one, or you know, Home Depot may have a tractor racing series. I don't know. I'm just speaking off the cuff here, but
they do have sponsors. Yeah, I'm not sure about the John Deere one.
Yeah.
I think they do, but I can't confirm that.
Mm-hmm.
I had lawnmower races down as
lawnmower.
Well.
Oh, okay.
Lawnmower races. Like people sitting on, I mean, and remember when we did sidecar races?
Yeah.
How those sidecars are dramatically different from the kind of sidecar you would see.
Yes, correct.
On the street, if you were lucky enough to see a sidecar on the street.
Yeah, sure.
But the lawnmower races, those things are crazy looking, man. I mean, they're low to the ground, of course, and there's a person sitting on them. And
so you're saying they look different than a typical
the
tractor.
Stuff I've seen, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Some of it looks different.
Built for speed.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, man, a lot they are built for speed, but a lot of them don't look like they started off as riding lawnmowers. It looks like they started off as push.
I would assume that they're awful fast too. I mean, if you're, yeah. I mean, if you're going to make them look like that, they better be quick, right?
I would hope so. Yeah,
yeah. I would think so. All right, I've got a group here that kind of goes together, and I'm going to hold one back, maybe.
We're going to hold one back.
I'm going to hold one back for later, and let me mark it here.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a group that is more like the local track type thing, the event. You know, maybe a dirt track, maybe an asphalt track, smaller tracks, but, you know, weekend racing.
Yeah.
The one that I'm familiar with is in Flat Rock Speedway in Michigan. And Flat Rock Speedway, they have endurance races, which are like, you know, 200 laps, and you run a really, really rough-looking car, but, you know, hopefully your car just lasts the 200 laps. It's really just kind of an who can hold up the longest in this race without breaking down or crashing or, you know, something like that. So it's just a fitness competition, I think, at that point. You know,
see, yeah.
The longest survivor wins. They also have figure eight races, which are extremely cool to watch. I really enjoy watching a figure eight race.
Let's break that one down.
Okay. It's a sort of a small oval track. And what they do is they cut, there's a crisscross pattern in the middle. So you're using the two banks, let's say they between turns one and two, and then you dive down into the infield and you cut across to turn four, I guess it would be. And then you go back up to turn three, and then that cuts back down onto the track and you're back up to turn one.
Yeah.
So it makes a figure eight if you look at it from above. And of course, there's this terribly dangerous intersection in the middle where you've got cars crisscrossing each other. And, you know, sometimes you get somebody who's, you know, just wanting to survive and make it through, but there's a lot of close calls. Sometimes they try to take out other cars on purpose, you know, the bad guy at the track, that type of thing. There's always somebody that's doing something like that. Just for the crowd and enjoyment. And it's fun. That's part of the, that's why they do it. I mean,
because, daredeviltry.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Now, you think that's kind of cool, right?
I think that's kind of cool,
you can find lots of information. You can find videos about this or whatever. Figure eight school bus races.
That's messed up.
That is. That is. And it's really awesome
that
to watch.
How big is that figure eight?
You know, it's a decent-sized track,
yeah.
But school bus figure eight racing, look it up online. It's hilarious to watch. It's really fun.
I mean, they wallop each other.
They really do. And the thing is, they're so, I guess, not top-heavy, but you got to remember they're on a track that has an inclined inclined turns.
Yeah, and they're going up at an angle.
Yeah, sure. They're coming right off of a flat surface on the infield, hitting turn one, making a hard right turn, hard left turn, and then it's banked. So you've got this banking that's going on, and you know these things, you know, they're tipsy to say the best, I guess maybe. And a lot of times they end up rolling over. And of course, you know, there's this whole you think you got enough room at the intersection to get through, but you forget that there's 40 foot of bus behind you.
Yeah,
and that's a problem. And a lot of times there's a lot of collisions in the middle, and it's pretty interesting. It's fun to watch.
Now, I'm assuming that these buses are empty except for the driver.
No, it's full of kids.
No, it's empty. Just the bad
totally,
kids.
Totally empty. And, you know, a lot of times, this is funny, because the last one I went to, before they started, you know, they're all lined up side by side. You know, they start side by side each other. They kind of track around one. They go around the whole track once, and then they start. And there was a guy that, you know, before they even started rolling, one guy was just ramming his bus into the guy in front of him. Just as hard as, I mean, just, you know, a short acceleration, you know, hitting him from 5 feet away or whatever. But it was fun to watch. It was a good night. And then really there's one more that's kind of related, but I'm going to hang on to it until the very end.
That's the mystery.
Maybe not the last, but I'm going to hang on to it for a little while. But there's a related one that you may not believe in unless you actually see it.
All right. I'm going to just real quick go through. I have a list, but I don't have details on them.
Sure.
So I want to focus actually on yours because I collected a bunch of stuff that doesn't have, has but the tiniest relation to vehicles.
Oh, okay. Got it.
All right. So in Japan, there is a tub race where people paddle down a river in tubs.
Bathtubs.
Well, traditional, like, they look like wash tubs.
Oh, okay. They're big wooden wash tubs.
Yeah, they're wooden circular wash tubs.
It seems like you would tip over instantly when you hit the water.
There is definitely a skill set to it, man.
Wow.
And then people race electric buggies in the Netherlands.
Really?
Yes. And when I say buggies, you know, I don't mean like dune buggies. I mean like the things you would find in your local grocery store.
Oh, a shopping cart. We call a shopping cart, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So electric shopping carts.
Electric shopping carts.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Wow.
And they race them.
That
and
sounds like fun.
The video that I saw, the woman who looked like she was in the lead was, no spring chicken. But she was doing it.
I'm going to have to look this one up. That one sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'll send you. Yeah. You'll check it out.
Okay.
And then there's a sport of camel racing.
Oh, yeah.
In the Middle East. And we talked about this.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
And that is serious, man. Up in the United Arab Emirates or whatever,
these camels can move.
You know what? I had an anti-camel stereotype, I think. I thought they were much more like cows.
Well, they've got 8-foot long legs, Ben.
They do. Yes,
well,
sir.
6-foot.
They have long legs. It's just whenever I see them in the movies, they look so lazy.
Yeah, well, they're just plodding along. They're saving water.
They look like llamas without ambition.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Llamas without ambition.
If you can get them to race, then those guys can zip.
Yes, they can.
Probably one of the weirdest ones. I'm going to hand it back to you. I'm going to top out with my really weird one. I saw, and I would like actually some listeners to write in on this if you are lucky enough to see this or have more information for me about it, a soccer mascot race.
A soccer mascot race.
It's just the mascots for a bunch of soccer teams dressed up, running, and fighting dirty to win the race.
Didn't we see something like this in Major League Baseball recently? I think we did. I think there was some type of controversy. Someone tripped somebody else, and it was the video is ridiculous. But something like that happened here in the States.
I love that kind
of
stuff.
That's crazy. Yeah.
The only way to me, the only way it would be better is if they were driving school buses.
Yeah, that's right. Some type of car.
Right.
Shriner's car. You know, get them in go karts.
Yeah.
Golf carts. They've got golf carts there right at the stadium.
And there are already so many golf cart races.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a ton of golf carts.
A lot of them are informal. If you just show up and catch a caddy on the bad day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, or I think a lot of college campuses, a lot of, there's a lot of that type of shenanigans going on. You know, they just pirate some of the local golf carts, maybe from the local course there, and bring them on campus.
Which we don't condone on the air.
Oh, no, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, but I got to real quick do the recap. I'm not going to go into it, but we have several episodes of races about specific types of races that I think we should invite our listeners to check out if they haven't before.
Oh, sure. We got offshore powerboat racing.
Right.
We got drag racing.
Tether racing.
Formula One. Mm. IndyCar. Oh, tether racing. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one that would have fit in here, I think.
Yeah, tether car racing. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. We got just a lot of Pinewood Derby racing.
Pinewood Derby
racing.
The
Soapbox Derby.
Really? Do you think people haven't heard of Pinewood Derby?
I don't know.
I'm a Boy Scout, I was a Boy Scout.
I don't know. I think by now it's kind of general knowledge, I think.
I feel like people know about it now.
You know what?
Pikes Peak, though.
You know what? If they want to learn about the Pinewood Derby, we've got an article on the site. We've got it on HowStuffWorks.com. They can find it there, too. Plus, we have talked about it, so there's another podcast if you're interested to comb through our archives, I guess.
Yeah. Hey-o. Are you on a road trip?
That's right. Yeah, very good. All right. Oh, Pikes Peak. That's another good one.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. What? But there's another one. I don't know. Go down your list.
I'll just go quickly here. One that I wanted to mention when I was mentioning those the smaller tracks.
Yeah.
And this isn't the big one that I was coming up with, but they often sometimes have spectator races. Did you know this?
No, spectator races.
Sometimes you can take the car that you drove to the track, let's say you're Monte Carlo, and borrow a racing helmet, or if you have one, you can take that with you. And as long as you have a seatbelt in the car and you wear this helmet, you compete against other drivers in maybe one lap on the course, and then it's kind of an elimination thing. They pair you up with somebody who's equally matched, and they try to keep it equal all the way through. They may give you a little bit of a head start over somebody else if it's something that's a Corvette versus your Monte Carlo or whatever.
Yeah.
But people you can race whatever you brought to the track, and it's called spectator races.
That's
and
so...
people get really jacked about this. I mean, they're excited.
That's amazing.
So the one terrible thing that I saw one time, I saw a guy smash his family car, and you know this is probably the guy's only car. He just smashed it just head on into the wall because they did a smaller, a smaller track. They didn't go around the full lap. They did a shorter one where it's more of a D-shaped, I guess.
Okay.
So it has, you know, the oval shape at one end and it's flat on the other end. And he came off of the flat pavement up onto the banked surface and he continued straight on right at the crowd and hit the wall.
Oh, no.
And he was fine. They pull him out, and, you know, of course, the whole front end of his, I think it was, it was like a Cavalier or something like that.
Oh, man.
And he had just caved it in. And the guy, the poor guy, he was shaking so bad that he couldn't walk. They had to help him walk because he was just, you know, nerves and excitement.
Yeah.
And they're trying to win $100, Ben. They're trying to win $100 when they're doing this race.
It's not about the money.
Right. It's about the glory, sure.
Yeah.
But my point is, here's this guy trying to win $100. He smashes up his daily driver, you know, to get to and from work.
His family car.
And there you go. That's a lesson to be learned. So before you do it, before you get all gung-ho about getting out there on the track, make sure that, you know, you think about that poor guy.
Or borrow your friend's car.
Because that's always, borrow your friend's car. Ben, can I have your keys? I need to go to the store on Friday night, about 11 o'clock.
Yeah. I may or may not be back.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool.
Okay, spectator racing. That's so much fun, though. Looks like fun.
I would do it, but I would not do it in my car.
Good point. Yeah, same thing. How about this? Combine Demolition Derby. Combines, you know, the full-size combines that you see out in the Midwest. You know,
I want to do that.
Enormous machines.
It's a demo derby?
They get eight of them going or whatever, and I don't know how they judge the winner because I don't think they could make these things ever stop running. I've never watched one to completion, I guess.
I bet there's a lot of strategy in there.
It seems like they could just crawl right out of the whole pit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Might end up in the crowd. That's the excitement.
I bet you see, like, shifting alliances, because I bet it takes at least two of those things to knock down or to...
The
I don't know.
Kalachi Crunch or whatever they called that on Happy Days. See, I'm way old.
No. I caught that one.
Fonzie was in the, whatever. Pinky Tuscadero. Anyways, okay, so the Combine Demolition Derby. There we go. Well, I'm going to throw one in there that was kind of like your list.
What's that?
Turtle races.
Turtle races?
Turtle races. I would be remiss not to mention turtle races.
The animals.
Turtles.
Yeah.
I mean, the slowest animal that you can think of. Well, that's snails, but it's turtles.
Yeah, they're not renowned for their zip.
The thing, you know, where I remember this is because we took a family vacation to Minnesota when I was really young. And I don't remember which town it was. I'm going to have to talk to my mom or dad and find out what this was. But there are two towns in Minnesota that claim to be kind of the turtle racing capital and original founders of this race. So one calls itself the capital of turtle racing of the world, or capital of the world turtle racing, whatever.
World capital of turtle racing.
That's Longville, Minnesota.
Shout out to Longville.
And then Nisswa, N-I-S-S-W-A. Nisswa?
Nisswa?
Nisswa? Could
Nisswa?
Be. Could be.
I don't know.
They claim to be the home of the original turtle races. Now, these have been going on for, like, the home of the original turtle races has been going on since, 46 years ago.
Wow.
46 years. This is the 46th year. It's a short season from June to August, and they really literally shut down the towns. Both of these are very similar. You know, four-way intersection.
Okay.
The track is painted on the road right in the middle. They shut down all the roads. They start in the middle, release the turtles. They go to the it looks like a target painted in the middle of the road.
Okay.
And as soon as they cross the line, they're the winners, and then they have heat races and then champions and do it.
They
do it every
weekend.
It's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's neat.
So that's like we're just saying box turtles though.
Oh, I don't know what kind they're painted turtles. I think you can bring
like snapping turtles.
What's funny is I think they provide turtles for. You know, people from resorts that come in and want to race.
Yeah.
And then you can also bring your own turtle. So if you have a ringer, you know, somebody who's really fast, someone, that thing is
the
fast.
The fastest turtle
exactly.
alive.
Exactly, yeah. And you can hold, heat matches and everything at home to determine, you know, which one of your turtles is the fastest one. There are restrictions. It has to have, you know, like a 5-inch shell limit and, I don't know if it's restricted to type, maybe. I don't know.
You thought about this.
Oh, you know what? I love this. I was about 6 years old when I saw this for the first time, and I don't remember which of these two towns I was in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to figure it out.
We'll find out.
But it's a day that sticks out in my head. It's a great vacation memory, and again, I was only six.
No, let me. I see where you're going with this, so let me just stop the podcast just for a second to say, I can't get with any more of your crazy get rich quick schemes, man. I'm not about to be a turtle race hustler.
That's right, like a pool shark, but you're a turtle race hustler. Yeah.
Okay, but all right, so that's cool. Non animals. I mean, non.
I'm bringing in a South American turtle. He's sure to win. He's a mutter.
Listen, your turtle goes down in the second.
I'm cracking myself up. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, what's that?
All right, next one is something called the Kinetic Grand Championship. Sounds very
kinetic.
Very dramatic, doesn't
it?
Kinetic Grand Championship. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
All right, now this one's been around for a while. It started in 1969.
Okay.
It was, I guess, founded by an artist, a local artist. Now, this is in Ferndale, California. Well, that's one of the locations because it goes a long distance, I'll tell you. Artist Hobart Brown, who challenged a local man to a welded contraption race back in 1969. And it's turned into this big three-day event where human power – I'm going to quote from the site here – but human-powered vehicles and all-terrain sculptures. And they cross 42 – they go 42 miles over sand, water, gravel, mud, and various types of roadway, including a mountain.
42 miles.
Yeah. They go up a – I believe it's a one-mile incline with a 7% a 7% grade.
Great.
And then it's also 7% on the way down on the other side, which is treacherous because, you know, these are pedaled vehicles.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of sculpture bike type things.
They're contraptions.
They're wild looking. I mean, one guy built a, on the website right now, again, it's called the Kinetic Grand Championship, and you could find photos of this thing, but the guy built a huge dragon thing, this tin looking thing that, you know, of course he pedals, and it has to be able to go across water, you know, with pontoons and everything.
Yeah.
He built it out of old scrap pieces of tin, like muffin tins and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
It's the craftsmanship. You wouldn't believe it. He's got all these controls that can make it open its mouth and turn its head. It's really interesting.
What are we doing, man?
It's amazing. And some of these things take years to build. Others, they do quickly, you know, and just get them out there. But a lot of them take years to build. And some of these guys, like I think the guy in the dragon, I'm pretty sure, he and several other people that were interviewed had raced in this thing for like the last 27 years. So they're continually working on vehicles that are several years out. So they've probably got next year's vehicle underway already and the next two.
That's so cool.
All at one time.
That makes me feel so lazy, man.
I know. It's unreal. And, you know, some of them are really simple. Others are very complex. And, you know, the water is kind of the – I could see from the video, I could see that the water was a real challenge to
that's the engineering feat.
Yeah, yeah. And sand, I guess, has got to be difficult too.
Okay, I would do that one. I would do that race.
So that's like, you know – oh, one other thing.
What's
go
that?
To that site because the poster art, they've got the posters from the events throughout the years. Really cool poster art, so it's worth seeing. Motorcycles on ice. Motorcycles on ice.
Well,
you ever heard of this?
That's a terrible idea.
It sounds like it, but it's unbelievably cool
to watch.
It's
either a terrible idea or a figure skating show.
It's so cool to watch. It really is. I saw this – here's how old I am, Ben. I saw this in the late 1970s. In Toledo for the first time at the Toledo Sports Arena. I went with my dad one night, and I couldn't even imagine what this was going to be when we got there. But they were so fast. They still are. I've seen video of it currently. It's very, very similar. They've got huge spikes on the wheels. Of course, it's an ice rink, so it's a very short track. But they also race on speed skating tracks, like the Olympic speed skating tracks.
Yes.
Those big tracks.
Yeah.
And they really fly.
They have spikes on the wheels.
Huge spikes on the
wheels. Well, okay. I think it's different now. I don't think it's such a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah. But those things have got to fly off. Seems really, I mean, imagine getting hit with one. I mean, you're on the track and they're in a constant slide. So they've always got the inner leg out. So they got their foot out for balance. They're cornering really hard. Sometimes they put hay bales against the boards, like for the hockey boards.
Yeah.
Because these guys just slam into them. And, of course, seems like the other bike's wheels might come in contact with riders occasionally, I would think.
And then also everything is gravy if you're the first person doing the first track.
Yeah,
but
right.
After, like, the third lap, there's some potholes.
Maybe
there,
it's
right?
better. I don't know. Maybe it's a better surface. I don't know. Oh. I don't even know if it matters, but maybe it does. Maybe it does. But these guys are really talented. You should
they have to be.
Check it out. They're really cool.
They have to be.
Anyway, super fast. You wouldn't believe how quick they go. Okay, now, a couple here that we'll go through these kind of quick. Sorry.
No.
Dragging it out.
I'm into it.
Snowmobile drag racing.
Sold.
Doesn't sound all that unusual, does it?
I would totally do it.
Would you? How about if I told you it was on pavement?
I would reconsider my
snowmobile
decision.
Drag racing on paint. Now, on snow, I can understand.
Yeah.
It's fine. So you've got the fastest sled. That's fine. You're on a lake or whatever.
Snowmobile drag.
On pavement. They've got special, I don't know if it's rollers or what it is on the front exactly. Bearings
kind of
or something.
Caster or something.
Exactly. I couldn't get a clear enough picture of what that was on the front sleds. But of course they got that giant track in the back.
Yeah.
So that's enormous amounts of traction. Like, you know, the big wheels on like a pro sport bike or something.
Yeah.
And some of these things, Ben, I had no idea. Some of these snowmobiles, they have 550 horsepower.
What?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
Yeah. You're talking, so this is like a Dodge Viper performance
yeah.
on a snowmobile. And the snowmobiles can do something like 210 miles per hour is the top speed now for a snowmobile in a quarter mile.
210?
210. Yeah,
210. Wow.
That's incredibly fast on a snowmobile.
I get, maybe, okay, maybe it's because, maybe those numbers are coming because some snowmobiles are designed to carry things after them. You know, like you can...
You're not carrying anything on that. That's strictly race. It's got to be just racing.
I'm trying to be fair, though? It's not working.
Here's time for one of my best lines. The only thing that snowmobile's meant to haul, I'll leave it at that.
We'll leave. Maybe the listeners can finish that line
fill
up
in
for
your
us.
Own blank.
Yeah, fill in your own. It's like a Mad Lib, a Scott Lib.
That's right. Okay. So that leads right into the next one, which is, this is kind of nuts, too. International Watercross Association.
What is the, is it what it sounds like?
Well, yeah. But remember what we just talked about? Snowmobiles?
Yeah.
High-powered snowmobiles?
Yeah.
Snowmobiles on water. In the summertime.
How does that work?
I guess it's just momentum. They keep it, I mean, it's really, they're hydroplaning on top of the water the whole time. They start on land, they skip out onto the water, because apparently, and I didn't know this, but people are using snowmobiles on gravel roads, they're using snowmobiles on, in their backyard on the grass.
We got to do a snowmobile podcast, man.
I didn't know. I thought it was terribly bad for a snowmobile to even cross a road that, you know, had no snow on it, but, apparently people are using them for all kinds of things.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I guess if you get enough speed up, you can stay on top of the water, and you can even turn on top of the water. But it's just safer to go fast, straight. But you can sustain this for a long, long time. The problem is when you start slowing down, of course, you're in danger of sinking, and that happens an awful lot.
I would imagine it happens all the time.
And they do have races. They have races where several people are competing either in straight line events, which they look like a jet ski. On the water, really.
Yeah,
but
that's
it's a snowmobile.
What I'm picturing.
And so they're leaning back, keeping the blades in front up out of the water, of course. I don't know. It seems like a pretty intense sport.
Man.
I know.
You got to be so fast when you hit the
water. I don't think you can't turn very fast. I think it's relatively wide turns. But
yeah.
To watch it is impressive.
I don't know. Would you do that one?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't know if I would.
Maybe on a borrowed snowmobile.
Yeah, it's like, I don't get the snowmobile back. That's the design flaw.
Apparently, one of the things that you first have to remember before it even sinks in that you're sinking, you have to turn the key off. Because otherwise you're sucking all that water in immediately in your engine. Yeah. Okay.
Getting to
the end of this here.
What is it?
And, I got a couple here, but I'll quickly go through these. One of the other things that I found unusual.
What's that?
Was when they pair up really strange vehicles with each other and race them against each other. It's like, say you got an offshore boat, powerboat racing. They've got it near a canal that's right near a runway for an an airport.
I have heard of this.
And they run the offshore boat as fast as possible. As soon as it crosses the line, they give the flag, and then there's a sport bike and a Formula One car. And they see who can make it, the fastest quarter mile. So the car and bike are standing quarter mile. The boat is a running quarter mile.
Yeah.
And a running start, rather. And they do the same thing with, like rogue car versus rally car versus F1 car versus, they have all these different combinations that they do. And I think those are really unusual, too.
That's interesting.
Not necessarily a race, but just a comparison.
It's still a race.
Okay. Getting towards the end here. Let's go back to the animals for one moment.
Okay, good.
I'll show you a photo here.
I didn't want you to...
This is a race where you need to provide proof of rabies vaccination in order to race. Take a look at that photo that I'm showing you.
That looks to be a wiener dog levitating.
It's an airborne wiener dog.
It's the airborne... Wow, that wiener dog is hauling.
His ears are straight up in the air.
Uh-huh.
He has no feet on the ground, and he's completely spread out over top of the ground. That dog is a bullet.
He looks like an unidentified flying wiener
dog. Exactly. And you know what? I think my wiener dog could take that wiener dog.
You should start racing them.
I'm going to enter my dog into one of these competitions sometime soon because they have one in Savannah, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm flipping through my paperwork here, but they do have an annual Savannah. They have an annual Savannah Wiener Dog Race, spelled D-A-W-G, because we're in Georgia.
Dog country.
We're in Georgia, of course. Started in 1996, so relatively new.
You're going to be new to the game. You're going to be running against some veterans.
I know it, because apparently competition is pretty serious, because they've grown it into what they call one of the largest dachshund events on the planet. So they have... I know. It's so funny, wiener dog races, but you know what? These are hilarious to look at, and I'll tell you, my dog is like a rocket. He's super fast. You wouldn't expect it to look at him. He's a little heavy, not terribly heavy, but when he gets going,
he's gone.
Yeah, I can't catch him. There's no way. He's quick, and he's like 12 years old. He's a bullet.
What's his name?
His name is Arnie.
I'm on Team Arnie. Let's do this.
Very good. Yeah, we'll have to...
Are there prizes?
It looks like you have to give him a sweater with a number on it. And maybe even a bandana or something.
I'm not really
up for dressing him up.
That's not really my department.
No.
Can we put somebody else in charge of that?
That's fine. But, you know, there's some funny regulations here when you read through some of these. They have to be a dachshund, of course. If you want to call them that. And let's see, they have to have their rabies vaccination, like I mentioned, or have papers to prove that they've been
Fair
vaccinated
enough.
With tags.
Yeah.
Each dog has to be accompanied by two people. Because the owner and a helper, because they have to load the dog into the racing chute.
There's a racing chute.
There's a racing chute, yeah. And you would think, now there's a $20 racing fee, so that, you know, each dog has to enter, you know, I guess that pays for, you know, the running of the event and the prizes and stuff.
It's
that
a lot cheaper than a snowmobile.
I guess they have big prizes.
Why?
Big prizes. But they also, and this may be the reason that I can't do it. You're not allowed to taunt your dog to the end of the track using food. You have to use, like, a favorite toy.
What?
Yeah, you think, I mean, all you have to do is pull out a little sausage or something, and he goes nuts.
Yeah.
But apparently you have to have a toy, a favorite toy. You can't use food.
We'll just make something that looks like a toy out of food.
Isn't that – it's kind of interesting, though. And then there's another one that, you know, that's where they get the photo from. Something, the Louisiana Downs Wiener Dog Races. So these are all over the place, Ben.
That's nuts.
And I think it's kind of a state fair staple at some point, too. You know, a lot of times – you'll find where they have, you know, they'll lay a hay bale out in the middle and have them do one hurdle on the way, too. And that's pretty funny to watch, too.
I imagine. Like frog, this is like frog races. Almost.
I've seen them raising pigs before where they give them I think it's an Oreo cookie for the treat at the end or something like that. Maybe they do the same thing.
Pigs run in a straight line?
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
Yeah, they have pig races. Anyways, this one's called, they call it one of the most unpredictable and entertaining contests of all of dog racing, paws down. That's how they describe it. So it's got to be fun. Frenetic fun as these diminutive, charismatic dachshunds or doxy give it their all to cross the finish line first.
I think you're taken with this, man.
I am. You know, it's so funny. Take a look at it. And as far as mixed breeds and, you know, like the small mixed breeds are allowed, but it's up to the judge's decision. In this one, this Louisiana race, they require AKC papers. In the Savannah competition, it's up to the judges whether or not it's enough dachshund to be able to do it. If not, then there are other competitions that are available for dogs to race in. Boy, we're going way off on this, aren't we?
Scott, we can't talk about it anymore because our producer, Matt, has a dog that could be competition. So.
Really? He has a dachshund also? I had no idea. See? Isn't that cool?
Oh, wait. You can hear us.
Yeah, you are wearing headphones. He can hear us, yeah. He can hear us.
Well, I don't want you guys to have
We'll set up a wiener dog drag race.
Yes.
Perfect.
We'll start it here.
Perfect.
You heard it here first, folks.
Very good.
So then we've got other animals. We've got frogs, right? Yep. People race frogs.
Sure.
And we've got, let's see, any kind of dog.
I've got my final.
Let's...
This is the one.
This is the big one?
This is the big one. And I'm holding it back because this is such an entertaining one to watch.
Okay.
This, you've really got to look it up online and give it some attention. It sounds terribly fun, you know, corny to watch, but it's hilarious. Trailer racing figure eight races. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Trailer racing figure eight races. Now, this is a vehicle like a truck or a minivan or something like that pulling a trailer behind it. Now, that's a camper. Sometimes it's a boat that they're pulling behind them. It's unreal to watch this. And the object of this competition is to be the last person on the track with your trailer still attached.
Lose your trailer, lose the race.
Exactly, but that doesn't mean the cargo can't come off of it. Now, other people are trying to just dive bomb into your trailer, your boat, whatever.
Yeah.
So this is nuts. Right in the middle of the intersection, you know, because it's a figure eight race. Like I just mentioned all the chaos of that, right?
Sure.
Now you add that you've got a trailer that you're pulling behind you. And, you know, if you pull a trailer, you know how difficult that can be in some cases. This is – you just don't care about this thing. You know, it's flipping over. It's doing – you're dragging it upside down at some points in the race. but people at the intersections are intentionally trying to smack the trailer off of your vehicle. And if it's connected well enough, you're going to end up flipped over with that as well. So, you know, these are loose, irregular connection, you know, like the ball hitch and everything.
Yeah.
It's not welded on or anything like that. In fact, that would be a bad idea because you would tip over quickly.
Right.
So it's to your advantage to keep it loose. But a lot of times, you know, at the intersection, you'll end up with the body of the camper and an upside-down boat, and you're trying to navigate that while someone's trying to smash into your trailer from behind and knock it off your vehicle as you're trying to get through and not be T-boned by another guy coming through at, you know, 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's chaos. And then by the end of the race, the field is an absolute mess because, you know, there's insulation inside the campers. You know, some of them still have the kitchen inside there. You know, the boat.
Pandemonium.
Yeah, the boat, you know, the boat is torn in half and, you know, the front half is over here. The back half is in the middle. It's a total mess. And, you know, the trailer, sometimes there are vehicles flipped over, the stalled out vehicles. There's a huge mess. And it's great fun to watch.
This sounds way more
so
like a demolition derby.
It's so fun. And the reason I saved it for last is because I really want it to stick out in people's mind to go and search for it, like on YouTube or something like that, where you can see this and I say appreciate it, but it's appreciate it. It's fun. It's fun to watch. And just have a good sense of humor when you watch it because it's crazy.
So what we could say is that I think listeners will notice from the theme here that throughout human history, as soon as we figured out how to make things propel themselves, we have been racing them.
Correct.
Even if it's not a good idea.
Yeah, that's right. Anything, you know, you pair up two of anything and people will race it.
And you know what? Bonus points if you can stick a motor on it, man.
Yeah, that's
right. Why don't we put some motors on those turtles?
Yeah, for a lot of these, you know, we're talking about powered vehicles. Some of them weren't powered vehicles.
Right.
Some of them are animals. But really, find two similar things and race them. People love doing that just to see who's better. It's just the competition. It's just great.
Two things we didn't mention, though. Chain racing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's
chain
one.
Racing. Yeah, that's similar to what we were talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you have to keep the other – well, go ahead. You want to
– No, you do it.
It's similar to the figure eight race. Sometimes it's a figure eight chain race.
Yeah.
Where you got two cars that are welded together with a chain in the middle or hooked together with a chain. And the competition is just to try to stay together for the whole race and remain connected.
Which sort of reminds me of those you know, those chain gang movies where the people would escape and run.
How weird is that? So, like, the guy in front is in charge of, like, the Excel. If you've ever pulled a car behind you with a chain or a rope, you know the trouble that I'm talking about because the front car has to control the speed that you're headed. Otherwise, the back car will end up smashing into the front car.
And the back car has to compensate direction.
Exactly. Yeah. And braking.
Yeah.
Most of the braking is done from the back car, if at all. It's nuts. There's some great races out there that, like we said, a lot of people have probably never heard of.
Yeah, and there's one more I want to mention, but you can't ask any questions. I just want you to Google it.
Really?
I want you personally as my friend and podcast partner.
I promise I'll do this.
Wife carrying race. There is a race where these guys are just like you have to pick up your spouse and just run. And what I saw of a video clip does end with this guy just running straight into water and. His poor wife is like behind him, piggyback kind of style, but in this really weird, almost upside down position, just trying to hold on for dear life. And then he just splashes like hard into the water.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, you told me not to say anything, but my mind is thinking this way that there are probably some people that have some clear advantages in these races. and disadvantages.
Sure.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that.
There are a couple Jack Sprats, I'm sure. But
very good.
Yeah, that's a way we could say
sure,
it.
Yeah, sure, understood.
So I guess we obviously missed a lot of races that we have never heard of.
Hundreds of them.
Hundreds, thousands maybe.
Maybe.
And if you're a listener and you would like to tell us about some of these races, we'd love it if you participate in one that we haven't heard of.
Oh, yeah, send us photos.
Yeah, post them on the Facebook, Car Stuff. You can also hit us up at Twitter, also Car Stuff. We've got a blog.
Yep.
Do you see the pattern here, folks? Also Car Stuff. And then, you know, if you prefer a different kind of communication, you can always send us an email, topics for shows. You can always search the website. You can always propose a new idea for a race.
Very good idea.
Yeah, there we go.
Very good.
And in the meantime, I'm going to decide whether I should save up for a school bus, a snowmobile, or just get a turtle.
You know what I would do?
What's that?
Well, turtle's a good idea.
Thanks, man. That's
a good idea.
My needs.
I would get a truck and a camper, and then go for the figure eight trailer race.
If you want to join me in dissuading Scott from this mad endeavor that he might just take,
maybe a boat.
Please help me. Send an email to us at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.